Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it incredible that we can worship together?
Yes.
Well, my name is Gina Nicola. I'm excited to be here this morning. I am on staff here as part of our care and counseling ministry, and it is an amazing ministry in which we care for people in relationships who are hurting, who are broken. We provide counseling and care. We have pastors who go out and pray for people in the hospitals and meet them in the care homes, and we come to you, and you guys come to us, and the community actually comes to us. And it's an exciting time, but prayer is like the only thing that keeps us going sometimes. And prayer is what we're going to talk about this morning. So I have the opportunity to tie up this series. We've been going through the letter of James, and we have learned quite a few things in this letter. James is mostly talking to believers, and he was addressing a few things, like that we're going to go through trials, that we need to deal with the sin in our lives, we need to watch how we use our mouths, that we need to consider how we treat others, and that we should be transformed in who we are if we're going to proclaim God the Father. So today what we're going to look at is prayer, and we're going to pick up in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, and we're going to see that there is not a time or a place or a moment that we cannot pray. We can pray anytime, no matter what. So if you're following along in your bulletin, or if you want to follow along on the screen, we're going to pick up in verse 13, and it says this: Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover them from a multitude of sins. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for every single person that is here, Lord, because it's not by accident. You have something to say to all of us, and it is awesome to come together to worship you, to learn your word, to grow our relationship with you, and to have guidance on how we are supposed to live, how we're supposed to act, and how we're supposed to treat other people. May we walk out of here today, Lord, knowing how to pray, how to praise, and how to give our lives totally to you. So I give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So right from the beginning, we're going to see, and if you're following along in your bulletin, we're going to see that the very first thing that James is teaching us is that we can pray in every single circumstance. Every circumstance. In verse 13, he says, Is anyone among you in trouble? In the Greek, that's translated suffering. Suffering in difficult circumstances, or if we're in distress, let them pray. Now, suffering seems to be a common thing nowadays for us, right? We know people who are suffering, who struggle, who are in trouble. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that they've done, but they can't control their circumstances necessarily. We go into work environments for some of us, and we feel like it's just a hostile environment. There's no believers, you're the only one. And you pray that God will change your environment. Some of us have households or extended relatives that we wish we were closer to, that we have broken relationships, and we continuously pray, God, will you change that? We have situations that are so out of our control, but we still have to live in them. And James says, pray. Because trials are going to happen, right? In James 1:2, right from the beginning of his letter, he said, count it pure joy. Because we are going to experience trials. Not if you are the unlucky one who does. But that we all will ride the roller coaster of life, right? We all will get in that place where it's twists and turns and loops and drops, and we don't know what to do, so let us pray. Now, suffering isn't foreign to other people in the Bible. Paul suffered. He talked about the thorn in his flesh, and he prayed that it would go away, that God would take it, and he never did. So what did he do instead? God empowered him. He gave him the grace and the strength to live with that thorn and still ripple out the word, continue in ministry. Even Jesus, we can read in Matthew 26, he says, "Father, if this cup can pass from me, let your will be done, though." So what he was saying is he went to the garden three times before he was arrested and before he suffered on the cross. Three times he said to his father, "If this situation could change, great, but you know what? It's your will, not my will be done." So pray in our trouble. Pray in our suffering. But we have to remember this. The circumstance might not change. The work environment might not change. He might not zap those people into, you know, what you want them to be. But he can give us the strength to endure it, right? He can be our strength in our weakness. So our circumstances might not change, but we can be empowered to still move on and be a light for him. The next situation or circumstance we see is that we can pray in joy. He says, "Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." Now, why say that? You know, in Romans, it talks about how we can weep with those who weep, but be happy with those who are happy. So why does he need to bring up when we're joyful? Well, if we know ourselves, we realize that when we are desperate, we will call out to God, "Help us. The roller coaster of life is throwing me for a loop. I don't like it. You need to fix it," right? Take me out of it. Make a path straight. But when we're doing well, how often do we reach out to him? How often do we remember to say, "Thank you, God, for all that you've done. Thank you for bringing me through those loops and the twists. Thank you for there being a, like, slow path on the roller coaster every now and then," right? People can hear us talk about our struggles. We ask for help in prayer. Do we remember to put out there, though, how much our God is awesome? How much we are full of love and can give away love because he loves us. Because in all our weirdness, he never leaves us. There is so much to be joyful for. And isn't joy contagious? It is. I mean, depression is contagious. I'm a therapist. If you line up multiple depressed people in a day, I will walk out depressed. It just starts to make you feel like, dang, life is rough, yeah? But if you line up people who are joyful, or you go to a prayer event, or you meet your friends, and they are happy and they're joyful, you start getting on that bandwagon, right? And you also start talking about how amazing God is. It's contagious. So we have to remember to pray or give songs of praise in that circumstance also. But then there's the other circumstance that he talks about, and that is to pray in our sickness. He picks up in verse 14 and he says, "Is anyone among you sick?" That word "sick" translates to without strength. So in our weakness, that same word is used when Jesus is told that Lazarus is sick. He's without strength. That same word is used about the man at the pool who wants to get in the pool because he could be healed if he can get in there, but for years he cannot get into the pool. He's that sick. He's that weak. So the word "sick" here, that weakness that we're talking about, is talking about a few different sicknesses, isn't it? So we look at the sickness that has to do with Lazarus. You can see the story in John 11. It's a sickness that leads to death. There is going to be a sickness in which we will not overcome, right? There are things that people are dealing with where they will pass on. We will all die. But why pray in that time? Because God's always doing something. We might not be physically healed. We might not overcome cancer or illnesses or diabetes or whatever it is that's taking our lives. But he can still change us. What does prayer do to us? It changes our thoughts because they go to him. It changes our emotions because we realize someone is here for us. We can lay it all at his feet and say, "This is your issue. I need you to work on it." It can change us physically, but it can change us spiritually. So sometimes we are not always going to receive a healing. We will still die. But it changes us in all other aspects, and we have to believe that God is always on the move. He's always doing something. Then there's the sickness that is due to sin. In James 1:21, it says, get rid of all moral filth and evil. Why? Well, if you remember, because we talked about how it will root itself in our hearts. It starts to cloud our minds like a fog. If sin is not dealt with, we don't forgive, we allow it to be bitterness in us, then it will change our communication with the Lord. It'll change how we communicate with others. It can alter who we are. In John 1:15, it says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. It can literally kill us in the sense that we're no longer living life. We're not living in the joy that we just talked about. We're living in bitterness and anger that leads to death. But then there's the sickness that is healed. There is the sickness that is endured. What about the blind man in John 9, where the people go up to Jesus and they say, who sinned, the parents or the blind guy? And Jesus says, neither. This sickness is for the glory of God. And he spits in the dirt and he makes mud and he puts it on his eyes. And when the guy washes it off, he can see. And people around him say, aren't you the blind guy? Aren't you the guy that was begging? All of a sudden, there's a testimony, right? There is a witness to him for the glory of God. Some of us won't be healed. I talk to people who are in pain every single day. They can barely move, and they still have an incredible testimony because as much as they're in pain, they know they're loved. They talk to God unending. They're continuously praising. And they tell me, I pray every day that I will wake up without any pain. And every day I wake up with pain and I'm still loved. So see, there is a sickness in which we will endure because we have his strength. Because when we pray, what are we praying? Not our will, but his will be done. We can still plead our desires. And I encourage you too, to pray for the people that you want to have healed. Pray for yourself, but always remembering that, God, I want what you want. And why is that? Because our view of the world and our situation is about this big, and God sees the whole picture. We only know a little bit of the puzzle. Maybe we even know a little bit of the puzzle. He knows the entire puzzle, right? He sees the whole thing. Beginning to end. So as we go through this, we're going to see that there's different kinds of sicknesses, and there's different ways to pray. But sickness has a unique place in this part of the letter. He says, pray. So how are we supposed to pray in our sickness? Well, he says, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Let them call the elders. First of all, elders are the spiritually mature. You don't have to have a priest title or a pastor title or a title at all. But a person who is mature, who is solid, who unwavering believes that when they pray, God hears. Does that mean that they're perfect? No. Could they have had a bad day? Absolutely. But they will pray knowing that God is always listening, always moving. Holy Spirit is always present with us. So call the elders. Now you'll notice that the sick person is calling the elders to him. They're so weak they can't come to church. They're so weak they can't get to the people that they would normally go to. So we're supposed to go to them. And we pray for them and we anoint them with oil. Now why oil? What does the oil do? Back then oil was medicinal. They would rub it on their skin for healing. But that's not what the point is. The oil is a symbol. Just like baptism is a symbol. Just like communion is a symbol. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It is saying, I'm anointing you. I'm setting you apart for God's special care, for his special attention, because this person needs you. They need your healing. So there's no magic in the oil. There's no magic in the mud, except it was Jesus' spit. There might have been a little magic, I don't know. But there's none in that. Who heals? Only God. Only God heals. We are his vessels. In other words, we are his people who work on his behalf, and we do what we are asked, and he does the healing. And we have to remember that we have our symbols because for us as human beings, we need them to remind ourselves that there are things that we should be doing in life. There are things that help us remember how to pray, how to set one apart, how to be diligent and get our mind focused. Now, there are plenty of examples in the Bible where there's no oil involved. So I don't want everybody to think they got to go out and buy olive oil and start doing that. But if you're led to do that, then do that. If you're going out to pray for someone, maybe that's what we're supposed to do. Now, he also says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. When I read that, I thought, I know a lot of people who have not made well. There are people who have not been healed from their illnesses, and there's some who are. So I was really glad I studied this, because it says the prayer offered in faith, the prayer of those who are going, by the way. So when you do what I do as a therapist, you hear all kinds of things. And one of the things I hear off and on is that sick people are told they're not praying enough. Sick people must not have enough faith. Sick people are doing something wrong in their sin, and that's why they're not being healed. Sin is not always the reason for sickness. Right? It is not always the reason. And by the way, according to James, it is not the prayer of the sick person, it's the prayer of those who are going. Those who are going out to pray for others, who are going to have that unwavering belief that God is doing something. Now, make well. Make the sick person well. Make well. That's actually translated to the word sozo. And sozo means save. So if you read it differently and it says the prayer offered in faith, make the sick person saved, then what are we doing? Something's going on, right? We're not necessarily saying that the illness will go away. We're not necessarily saying that the circumstance will change. But what we are saying is they will be saved spiritually. They will be transformed spiritually. There is nothing about prayer that is pointless. Nothing. It is what we have all the time that we can always use. And it says, the Lord will raise them up. I love it because you know what? Our life on earth is temporary. What we're going through, the people who are struggling, who are suffering every day, who are in pain every day, who have illnesses, who are watching their brothers and sisters suffer, he's going to raise us up because the Lord has already conquered what's going on here. He's already overcome. We will raise up with him in the end, and we will no longer suffer. We will have joy. So it's incredible to think that no matter what we're going through, we will overcome it. And then I love this part. If they have sinned, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So if their sickness is due to sin, they will be forgiven. It's like he's driving home. Please don't accuse someone of being overly sinful, and that's why they're not being healed in the way you want them to be healed. God is saving them. He's transforming us, transforming those who are praying and those who are receiving the prayer, right? They will be raised up. If they are sinned, they will be forgiven. So no matter what our circumstances are, we're to pray. Pray your desires. Pray, lay it all at his feet. He is a huge God. Tell him how you really feel. If you don't tell him, he still knows how you really feel. Right? We fool ourselves into thinking, well, I won't say that because that's not very nice. He just heard what you thought, you know? It's all good. But every circumstance, if you're in your car, you can pray. If you're at home, you can pray. If you're in the grocery store, you can pray. For those of you who say, I don't pray out loud. I've never prayed in public. Do not put yourself down. Do you pray? Do you pray? Then you have power. And that's what we're going to look at next, is that prayer is powerful. You might not pray out your mouth. And if you want that, you want the courage, then ask for it. But we're all gifted differently. If you're a prayer, though, in your head, out your mouth, in public, privately, your prayers are powerful, and we're going to see how powerful they are. In James, starting in 16, it says, therefore, so in other words, after everything we've just said, take into account everything, confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sins. See, prayer is the greatest privilege we have. It's the privilege to continuously, always be in relationship with God. But it also builds community. Confess your sins to one another means we need other people. Christianity, being a Christian, is not a solo life. We have our individual relationships. We have to talk to Him on our own, and we have our own responsibility. But we need others. Don't most of us want to know that we matter? Someone notices us? If we were missing, someone would look for us. Sometimes our greatest desire is that we have any kind of purpose whatsoever, that someone cares about us or we're making an impact. The only way to have that happen is to build community and to be in relationship with each other. And He says that you'll be healed. But remember, it might not be healed in the way you think. We can find spiritual healing, emotional healing. Sickness can lead us to depression and anxiety and illnesses. So we can be healed emotionally. We can be healed in our thoughts. We can go from negative and always down to praise the Lord and hope. So we're healed in multiple ways. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Who's the righteous person? If you're a Christian, you are seen right in God's eyes. Welcome to your powerful and effective prayers. Right? If you're praying, it's powerful and effective. If you believe in Him, if you know He's moving, if He's on fire, then you are powerful and effective, and you have the greatest privilege ever. And we get to know each other. And it says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. So in community, we would notice if someone's wandering, but it also brings support, right? Whatever I do, I love what I do. I love the team of people I work with, from the secretary who meets every broken person who walks in our building and takes every phone call, to the person who has that gift to go out and pray in the hospital. Some of you here volunteer your time to go and pray. Some of you are gathering together and praying for our entire church. I just met a group of you. I walked out kind of floating. It was pretty awesome. Just continuously praying because we're supporting one another. We need each other, and it changes our lives. Whoever turns a sinner, who's a sinner? Everyone. Some of us know Him, and we still need Him. We know that we're broken. Some people are sinning, but they don't know they need Him. Some people don't believe that they'll even take Him. That God, they've done it, too much sin, too far off the beaten path, God's not going to save them. He wants to save us all, doesn't He? So in other words, if you're human, you can pray. And He gives us an example, which He had done throughout the entire letter. But picking up in 17 and 18, it says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Why Elijah? In 1 Kings 17 and 18, you can read the story of Elijah. It's pretty crazy, really. Israel has moved away from God. They're being taken down a path of worshiping Baal, a different god. And Elijah refuses to believe that. He worships the one and only true God. He's the only prophet. And he decides, I'm going to gather some bulls, two of them, and I want you guys who worship your God to gather all your prophets. 450 of them call themselves prophets for Baal. And then there's Elijah. He says, we're going to build altars. And you pray to your God, I'll pray to my God, and whoever's altar sets on fire and the sacrifice is made, that's the true God. So they're like, we're in. And they do it. And they dance and they pray. And he starts taunting them. He's like, maybe you should pray a little louder. He's like, maybe your God's asleep. You know, he's like, keep going, come on, you can do it. Nothing. Hey, their altar never sets on fire. He douses his in buckets of water first, and then he prays to God, and it catches fire. And the people fall, and they realize who is the one and true God. So why Elijah? Because he turned those who had strayed away back to God. Because then he goes and he prays for rain. And he didn't just pray once. He went and he prayed and he told his servant, go see if it's raining. Guy comes back, no rain. Does it again. Hey, is it raining? Nope, no rain. Seven times. Guy keeps coming back. No rain. Then he comes back and the last thing he says is, there's a cloud. And it rains. And it rains and the crops produce. So what is that example of? Don't give up. Pray earnestly. Some of you pray for years for people. Some of us need to start praying more. Some of us need to remember that if we're doing good, then praise Him. Now, I am a huge fan of James because he says, don't just hear about this. So basically he's saying to all of us in this room right now, you didn't just come here to sit and listen and leave. Do. We're going to do. So what I did is I asked a few people to come up, and they're going to pray for us. Okay? You guys can come up now. I can't remember who I asked to come up. Oh, yeah. Pastor Vince. We have Jesse, and we have Jeff. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask them to pray for you guys. Now, this is what we're going to do. If you are sick, if you're struggling with illness, we're going to ask you to stand when Pastor Vince prays for you. Or raise your hand, and we want everybody else to reach out and pray for them. If you're not sick, but you know someone who cannot be here, we call it standing in the gap. Stand for them. God knows who you're representing. We're going to do that for sickness. We're going to do that for people who are struggling, who are in a distressful time, who want their situations to change. And we're going to pray for the lost, for those who know him, but they're moving away. And we're going to pray for those who don't know him. And each time, we're going to ask you to stand, either on behalf of yourself or someone else. But we're going to be the church, and we're going to be brothers and sisters right now who are praying for one another, because there is power in prayer. Amen. So we're going to start with Pastor Vince.
Well, good morning. Before we have you stand for any prayers for anyone dealing with physical issues, I have an update from Pastor Ron. And this is from Pastor Ron. He says, I've been home from the hospital for 2 weeks, and the recovery is slow but sure. I'll be having dialysis 2-hour sessions on Mondays and Fridays. Please pray for the restoration of my kidney function and the return of my strength, and pray for my family. So, dear ones, stay faithful. Let's hang on to Jesus. He will see us through. With great love, Pastor Ron. So we want to pray for Pastor Ron, but we also want to pray for any of us here this morning that are dealing with physical issues, and to pray, and if you want to represent someone that you know who is dealing with physical issues, I'd like to invite you to stand right now, and I applaud you for your courage for doing that, but just please stand. And those of you that are around that person that's dealing with physical issues, if you could maybe just reach your hands out to them, lay hands on them, stretch out your hands towards them, and let's just pray and bring these issues to the Lord. So, precious Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the great physician. And Lord, that you are a God who can do anything. And Lord, we know that you're a God of hope. And Lord, while there is breath, there's always hope. And so, precious God, would you extend your grace and your power and your love, Lord, to these that are standing here in this room this morning, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those that they are representing as well, Lord God, that you would do your divine work of power and grace, Lord, in each life that is represented here. Lord, I pray that that for us in this room, Lord, that are dealing with these physical issues, Father, Lord, would you please remind us, Lord, that you are greater, Lord, than any sickness or malady that we might have. Lord God, would you remind us, Lord, that you care about every situation that is here, Lord, and that you have not forgotten about us. I pray, Lord, that you might give to us the patience we need, Lord, as you accomplish your work in our lives. Lord, we pray that you might also give us the faith that we need, Lord, to continue to trust you. Lord, you know how difficult these situations are, Lord, and you understand, Lord, what we are going through. But precious God, we entrust our care to you now. And Lord, and we just pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would heal bodies, Lord, that you would encourage souls, Lord God, and that you would draw each person here and each person that is represented here, Lord, closer to you. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a great God who does great things. Thank you, Lord, that there is nothing impossible with you, Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves, we commit our bodies to you now, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Okay, Jesse.
Thank you. My name is Jesse. I'd like you all to bow, please. Father God, what a privilege it is to come before you and pray amongst this beautiful body of believers. I thank you, Father God, for those who have been praying on a daily basis, Father God, day after day, in the circumstances that they're in. I thank you for the grace and the strength that you're giving them, Father God, like Pastor Ron and his family and many others, my Lord. But there's other circumstances, Father God, that your believers are under. And Father God, they need your help. They need your grace on a daily basis to get them through, my Lord. Many are weary, Father God. Even in doing good, they are weary. And so, Father God, I ask that your mighty hand come upon them, my Lord, and fill them and lift them up. Give them that courage, Father God, and that continued strength to keep praising you in their midst, Father God, until the deliverance come. Many need the joy of the Lord to be returned to their hearts, Father God, so that in their times of trouble, my Lord, they can see your hand. And I pray that your people would continue calling, touching, praying, asking those around them if they need help, to partner up with the body of Christ, Father God, for those who can't do it for themselves. I thank you for prayer. I thank you for Jean's message today, Father God. Prayer is mighty. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe that you are the Lord from everlasting to everlasting, Father God, and that nothing is impossible for you. And I thank you for your glorious love for us, Father God. And I know that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings over God's people because you love us. In Jesus' name.
Hi, my name's Jeff, and I've been lost and confused, very helpless, frustrated, angry. Probably some of you can relate. Been homeless, drank Jack Daniels and thought it was good. Watched my wife make the world so small it's as big as a IV tube years. Children I'm responsible for that I know they go home to terrible places. Thinking I'm too smart and the stories of the Bible are too simple. But I want to pray for those of you that can relate to any of those things the way I pray, so that you know that, like for me, God comes and takes those small places and makes them very big. The Lord has made my life big and beautiful. So Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my family that didn't let me stay lost. They prayed for years. And thank you for the doctors that, in their small way, tangled my wife up with tubes over and over again. And yet, not coming back the same, but coming back different, she is strong. And she's a gift to me every day. Thank you, Lord, that your stories are revealed to me as being a deeper truth than anything I hear in other places, Lord. Thank you that those students I have are not only my responsibility, Lord, and that I don't have to feel helpless, but I can feel empowered by the teachers I pray together with and by this fellowship, Lord. I've been so blessed by this body, Lord, and you have called each of us, like Gina said, today, this very day, this morning, right now, to turn to you and turn to one another, Lord, and to speak and to listen, to ask, and to have the joy and obedience that Pastor Ron has taught me, Lord. Thank you so much for that, is that whatever the circumstance, that when we understand what you ask us and we do it humbly, that there is a special kind of joy that is huge, Lord. So I right now pray that anybody here who feels lost, whether they've been a believer or never been a believer before, that they know that in here are so many people who have the indwelling spirit right now who will speak for them, Lord, and that they can ask that you come into them, Lord, and change their life the way you've changed my life and so many. And I pray also, Lord, that there's any who have been believers for a long time and yet feel dry or angry and do not feel close to you, Lord, is that they know that you are close and that we all get to take the joy that comes from that, Lord, and that we walk out of here in a few minutes after we've ministered to one another filled with that joy, and ask this in Jesus' name.
We're going to close, but I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward, and they're going to be up here in the front, and there's a couple things that I would like to challenge us to do, and that is, if you still need prayer, if you want individual prayer, then we'll be standing up here, and we will pray for you. If you can't make it down here because it's too hard to get back up there, or for whatever reason, raise your hand or send someone. We will come to you and pray for you. If you don't need prayer because you're all prayed up, filled up, and ready to go, okay, or filled full of joy, then go out. If you haven't signed up for the 4th of July picnic yet, then do so. It's a way to build community and get to know each other. The other thing that you could do is, if you don't have any of those desires, if you've already done all of those, then maybe go out to the patio and meet someone new. Hang out for a little bit. Say hi to someone you've never met before, because we need each other. And so reach out, because the hello and the smile and what's your name can transform someone's morning, right? So right now, I just bless all of you. I thank you for coming. You weren't here by accident. And may we continue praying for each other as we move along today. So God bless you. Thanks for coming.